Welcome to Clubhouse Radio, live from the Catskill Youth Clubhouse on 90.7 FM WGXC, broadcasting Acre, Catskill, Hudson. We're in front of our studio audience, preparing to bring you our town, our truth. This is our third and final week on Black Hair. We have a special guest, Alexis Keith, coming in for an interview soon. But until then, we will kick off our show after the local news and weather.
WGXC Newsroom. This is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Sarah Tapton is reporting in Columbia Green Media that Greene County taxpayers invested in real estate this week as legislators voted on November 20th to pay $400,000 to buy a building in Cooksackie. Currently, Greene County is using the building as a temporary sheriff's office while the new county jail is being built. Greene County Administrator Sean Groden claims that if the county can sell the building in 2 years for the same price, they will save up to $125,000 on rent. But the real estate market could change. Republican Catskill legislator Linda Oberbar said, and I quote, "I'm squeamish about buying commercial property. We're shelling out $400,000, but we don't know what the market is going to do in Greene County," end quote. Oberbar and fellow Catskill Republican legislators Michael Bulick and Matthew Lavera were against the purchase in an 8-5 vote November 20th. Republicans Gregory Davis from Greenville, Jim Thorington from Windham also voted against the resolution. And the absence of Cairo Republican William Lawrence also counted as a no vote. Democrats Harry Lennon from Cairo and Larry Gardner from Hunter voted for the purchase, with Republicans Patrick Linger from New Baltimore, Jack Keller from Catskill, Ed Bloomer from Athens, and Charlie Martinez, Thomas Hobart, and Patricia Handel from Cooksackie. The purchase also means more county government is moving into Cooksackie and out of Catskill. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Robert Gavin is reporting for the Times Union that the mid-level appellate division of the state Supreme Court's third department unanimously ruled November 21st that State Supreme Court Justice Jonathan D. Nichols of Columbia County incorrectly ruled in 2018 that former State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman's office did not have the authority to prosecute former Rensselaer County District Attorney Joel Ablove for perjury. According to the decision from the appellate court, Nichols, and I quote, erred in granting defendant's motion to dismiss the indictment, end quote. That means Ablove again faces one count of first-degree perjury and two counts of official misconduct for lying to a grand jury about a 2016 fatal police shooting of unarmed drunken driving suspect Edson Thevenin in Troy. 5 days after the police shooting, Ablove put the case before a Rensselaer County grand jury, which cleared Troy Police Sergeant Randall French of any criminal wrongdoing. The Columbia County judge originally threw out the case, saying the crime of allegedly false statements that Ablove made when he testified before the grand jury investigating him prejudiced the grand jury. Presiding Justice Elizabeth Gary and Justices Robert Mulvey, Michael Lynch, and Eugene Gus Devine overturned Nichols' ruling. New York Attorney General Letitia James said, and I quote, "The grand jury found Ablove abused his power and lied under oath in an attempt to sway a grand jury and impede our investigation, actions that were patently unlawful and unethical. We look forward to continuing this case and ensuring that justice is truly served," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Sarah Tapton reports for Columbia Green Media that on November 20th, the Greene County legislators adopted a $122.35 million budget for 2020. The budget includes a fifth-year fly car, an emergency vehicle to provide medical services before an ambulance arrives on the mountaintop. The budget increases from $119 million to $122.35 million, with a tax rate increase of 1.7%. 8 of the 14 Greene County towns will get tax rate deductions. Debt service for the new Greene County jail is the leading reason for the new spending. New mandates from Albany mean the county will hire an additional full-time employee in the probation department, in the Department of Social Services, in the Department of Motor Vehicles, and in emergency services to help with the discovery process, and 2 full-time employees in the district attorney's office. There were 3 votes against the budget. Catskill-based legislators Matthew Lavera and Michael Bulick, both Republicans, opposed the fly car resolution because they said it meant Catskill was paying double for emergency services. Legislator William Lawrence, a Cairo Republican, was absent, so his vote counted as against. Republican legislator from Durham, Patricia Handel, said, and I quote, "I don't think that life on the mountaintop is worth less than a valley life. It is a Greene County fly car, not a mountaintop fly car. Catskill chose to do its own system. I don't think other towns should suffer because Catskill did its own thing," end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Melanie Lekosevic reports for Capital Region Independent Media in the Greenville Pioneer that the Greenville Town Board unanimously adopted its 2020 budget on November 6th with a tax rate of 6.69 per $1,000 assessed value of the property. Town Supervisor Paul Mako said, and I quote, "Someone with a $100,000 taxable value on their tax bill will see about a $67 decrease in their tax rate, which does not include any of the special districts. There is not a lot of fluff in the budget. There is no unnecessary spending," end quote. An insurance plan has the highway budget up, and the library is set to get an additional $5,228, an increase of 2.54%. Greenville is also adding an ambulance district with a tax cost of $1.50 per thousand assessed value of the property. Read more about this story in the Greenville Pioneer. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, visit our website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Hello and welcome to the better weather. Chance of rain this morning as the system moves through the area today. Temperatures will hang out in the low and mid-40s. Rain should end around dark. We should also get some wind gusts near dusk. Grab that extra blanket. Overnight temperatures drop to the upper 20s. Tomorrow will be clear and warm up to the low 40s. Saturday night, it will reach just below freezing, making the system coming through on Sunday likely drop snow in the morning, then turn to rain Sunday afternoon, with highs staying in the 40s. We have a system gearing up to make a mess of a large part of the country next week, so for those planning to travel, prepare for some delays. Looking way up, we see a pretty quiet planetary neighborhood. Last night's meteor outburst did occur, but it was not quite as strong as people had hoped. Current solar wind speed is 537 kilometers per second at 1.6 protons per milliliter. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4. Unsettled. There have been 9 days since the last sunspot. And this has been the better weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Wayfarm's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Wayfarm Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Melissa Alfdermar and Tony Stone of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
It's a fun house, it's the best house, bit of a mess house, no stress house. We joke around or can be serious, so come here being racist or delirious. We don't make fun of, we don't bully, don't pull on the back of nobody hoodie. Accept everybody the way they are, just facts, cause every time we sign it, we make a pact.
Bubba, stop hogging the remote.
Because it's the clubhouse. It's the fun.
Welcome to Clubhouse Radio, live from Casco Youth Clubhouse on 90.7 FM WGXC, broadcasting 8th Grove, Catskill, and Hudson. That was Clubhouse Original by Aisha. And we are doing Our Town, Our Truth, Black Hair, and all views expressed on Clubhouse Radio are our truth and may not represent the views and opinions of the Clubhouse Parent Organization and Mattel Association of Columbia Green. I am Tyla. This is
DJ WIC.
And we are here with
Alexis.
Yes. And also we have Olivia sitting here with us. So we have Alexis here, right? Oh, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and your role in the community?
I've had many roles in the community. I'm 36. I was raised in Hudson, New York. I went to Hudson High. I'm a Blue Hawk. And I've worked several different places in the community. And part of my role in the community is advocacy. And it's been like that since I was young. I'm still learning new things that's going on in the community and hope to get involved in some new stuff going on.
Mm-hmm. And for the last few weeks, we all have been talking about our experiences with our hair and everything mm-hmm. like that. So I just want to ask you, what are some of your experiences with your hair relating to your hair?
Well, where do I start? So my mother's Caribbean. My father's African-American. So my hair is already... you know, it's different sometimes. So for me, even like growing up as a kid, I know I used to have my hair braided and my braids used to come loose. My hair couldn't keep the braids. So if I didn't have the right person to braid, you know, I would never be able to keep my styles. But I used to wear my hair braided and beads. When my friends and I used to try to do each other's hair, you know, I have all those experiences of trying new things with my hair. I've colored it almost every color, believe it or not. And right now I'm actually going natural.
Oh, great. Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it's like really hard transitioning from having like relaxed and perm and straight mm-hmm. hair into your natural hair. It's really hard.
Yeah, you have to really make that decision and stick to it because mm-hmm. there's no going back.
Yeah, and then I wanted to just transition that into... our timeline of basically the history of like all black hair and then transitioning it into like modern mm-hmm. like topics on black hair and everything about that. So let's first talk about the history of like braids such as cornrows and box braids and all that stuff. So basically way back, like before slavery and all that other stuff, various tribes throughout Africa had unique braiding styles to set them apart from other warriors and kings. And especially in West Africa, where braided styles were significant from where you came from and where you were going. So basically, different braids were an indicator of like what region you were from and all that other stuff. And I think most importantly, within the culture, basically their hair was like some kind of like complex language between them of like who you are and all that other stuff. It would like indicate your marital status, age, religion, ethnicity, wealth, and your rank in the community of whatever community you're from. And then there would be some cultures where you would literally like know someone's like last name from just like the braiding style that's in their hair. Like it was basically just a really big part of their identity and the way right. they communicate with each other without actually knowing you, but you know you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You just know. And then, yeah, so basically it was assimilated with being like, basically like each clan had its own unique hairstyles and everything like that, such as, if I can find it, like Fulani and Mandingos and Igbos and Ashantis, like all those different tribes had their own like braiding styles and all the other stuff. But then when like colonizers came over and like took them and whatever, they shaved their heads off, like they shaved their braids and all that off. They said it was for quote unquote sanitary reasons, but we all know why. So basically they did it so that they wouldn't, like they would try to forget where they came and from and all that other identity yeah. just it was like erased from them,
to wash it away kind
yeah,
of
yeah. And basically mm-hmm. like you wouldn't know, because like if they did have their braids in, like still had their hair, they would know, like, oh, I know that person from, because they're from that tribe, I'm from that tribe, and they're from da da da, and I'm da da da. So yeah, it was a really big part of where they came from and their identity, and it was just terrible how they basically tried to just disassociate themselves with themselves. It's just weird to say, but it's true. Yeah. And then once they actually like got to the new Americas or whatever, the new laws were like placed to in order to enforce the false narrative that black women were like, it was like their hair was a threat to other like white women and stuff like that, because like they were basically like I guess quote unquote seducing or trying to seduce white men and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. So they would like, they would really try to like shame them of their hair to try to make it,
instead of making them proud and feel like proud of what your history, mm-hmm, you know, gave you.
Basically, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I also wanted to add it that I didn't add it before, that basically when people still did have their hair and they were like, when slaves had their hair or whatever, they would like braid cornrows, and they would braid them into like maps or like specific like codes so that other slaves could understand, like if like a map of like a field, let's say, like they're trying to escape, and they would like know where to go and stuff like that. And so another part of it was that when like slave mothers had like their children set off or whatever, before they went off, they would braid like rice and seeds into their hair so that they would have food like to eat. Like that's just so important. I don't know, to me it resonates differently, because like wow, your child been taken away from you, and you could literally put food in their hair for them to eat. Like that's
crazy. Even still, you still find a way to help them survive.
Exactly.
And using the culture and what you was,
it's just part of
with.
you know. Mm-hmm. It's just, mm-hmm, in your heart, just know. I think that's really crazy. And then I wanted to move on to the civil rights movement and all that other stuff that's in my other one, sorry. That's in this one here. So basically what happened was that after the emancipation and all that other stuff, when Madam C.J. Walker patented the hot comb during the Reconstruction era, black women began turning their kinks and curls into straight hair and all the other stuff to like assimilate into white society and be able to like try to blend in with all the other white people in their community and all that stuff.
You know, she was from upstate New York. Like,
yeah.
You know, so
it's crazy.
It's crazy how close we are to so much history, you know. It's all around us.
Yeah, but then people started to like want to like actually like become cool, I guess, and whatever, and like try to really like blend in with the other people, even though it's literally the hair that grows out of our head, which is crazy. But then I guess once the Civil Rights Acts like started and all that other stuff, like an afro is basically like, it was a physical manifestation of our rebellion. So people started wearing afros to be like, you know, like really show how like their power and they're strong, we're together in this and all the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But
have
then,
you guys ever seen, I'm sorry, you oh, ever sorry. Seen the afro comb, like the black power combs?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they have I always see that.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. But then after people started becoming like more and more like it's just, how do I say this? People started coming more and more like strongly opinionated on it. Caucasian people will come in and be like, oh, that hair, unprofessional, and you should be ashamed of it and how it grows out your head and da 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 da.
Kind
of
like what they did back in the mm-hmm. slavery times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so basically people started like listening to it, and they were like, dang, like, you know, and they started to do it again. They started to straighten their hair, mm-hmm, and black men would wear conks with like waxing their hair and all the other stuff. And then the Black Panther Party basically tried to like get rid of the burden, mm-hmm, by basically, they would have like these spaces where black people could go with their afros and all, mm-hmm, that stuff and just feel safe, like where they are. And like, I feel like that was a big part. Like, it was, people always talk about the Black Panther Party about always being like, you know, like violent,
aggressive,
all other stuff, and aggressive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like, truly, it was like, I don't know how to explain it. I wish someone could explain
it
for me.
It was a place to feel inspired and
It was a place.
It was
to
a place to feel inspired and empowered again, and you, mm-hmm, know, feel close to your culture, your roots,
mm-hmm,
and those roots that build us all up and make us strong. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a sense of strength. I think they were trying to bring it back to us, like, don't forget your strength.
Basically, yeah, you know? like we're all in this together. Like,
right.
I don't know what to say. Like
united.
That,
you're all,
yeah, we're
united.
All united, and we're just in it to, mm-hmm, win it. You know. But then, once that was going on, but people were still like straightening their hair and all that other stuff while it was going on, But then when Angela Davis was arrested and they have her mugshot, and like most, basically in the mugshot, most of the picture was of her afro. So I feel like people were like, they were like, like astonished by it. They like never seen an afro that big, so they were just like astonished. So it was, yeah, and they were, I guess they were inspired to start growing their afros out too. So basically what happened was everybody started doing it over and over again, and then I guess it became really popular at that time.
Do you guys have anybody in your families that had, that wore those afros back in the day, like grandma or?
Dang, not that much. Not really that much.
I never looked into that.
Yeah, I never looked into it. They probably did, but I never looked into it.
I came across a lot of pictures from my father's era and my aunts and and their big afros and you know, the pics. I still have those pics.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's really nice to see. They were all happy and smiling. Everybody was, you know, united. Everyone looked the same. You know, it would look like they were having a good time.
That's great.
Together.
But yeah, we're going to continue this in our second half of the show. Right now, we're going to listen to Formation by Beyonce.
I might get your song played on the radio station. You just might be a black Bill Gates in the making.
I just might be a black Bill Gates in the making.
I see it.
So now that we're back, I just want to kick it back in talking about Beyonce's 2016 Super Bowl halftime show and how basically what she did was she sung Formation, basically. She sung Formation and she had the dancers wearing Black Panther berets and having like a, just all together having like their afros out and having an anti-police message like about like brutality and all other stuff. And basically everyone was talking about how she was like anti-law enforcement and didn't support it, and how she was promoting the Black Panthers and violence and separating like America or whatever. But like if they're saying things like that, I feel like to me then that means that you know what she was talking about, because she didn't say it directly, so you knew it, you know it yourself, you know it's wrong, but you're for some reason you're still supporting it, which is like, it shows just who you are as a person, right. So yeah. What else did I want to talk about? Oh yeah, do you have like any like thing from there? I was like kind of younger back then, so I didn't really know much.
Oh yeah, she made a lot of noise that night when she performed, and she didn't care who made a sound. You know, she the face, the whole performance, everybody in it was in it, and I think they all gave us a really powerful message, and I think that's, you know, why we still talk about it today. It was a great thing to see. And at the time when it happened, like, I think we needed to see it, and she knew that. So I think for her to make it all inclusive, you know, and all about us, I think that was one of the most powerful things she's done.
Definitely. And definitely. It definitely resonated with other like big like celebrities and black pop stars and all other stuff, like Solange and Naomi Campbell, Ella Banner. And basically, afros made another comeback, like, I guess. So it just, it became another, like, sign of, like, just modern strength of, like, black empowerment and other stuff.
It was a reminder to say, wake up, you know, we're still here. We're still, we can still be united. We can still be here for good things and create beautiful memories.
And then ever since then, people were wearing afros as, like, not even to, like, really, I feel like just wearing an afro by, you don't even have to say anything, just wearing afro by itself basically, like, it's you saying, oh, like, I'm empowered to be myself and I'm empowered to be strong about who I am.
It's definitely a statement.
Yeah, definitely a statement. Whether you're saying it out or not, that's definitely what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, it could be, like, you could be wearing, like, a soft style with it, and it could be soft. It could be, like, a strong message. But either way, it's still a message. Either way.
And how much time you take to form it.
Yeah, and, like the way you make it. It's just everything that goes into having an afro. It's just very, I don't know. It's very, like, I wish I had the word. Do you have a word for it?
It's, I wouldn't say militant, but it's, like, you have to be, like, you have to be disciplined. You have to be disciplined in how you wear it and how you style it, how you sleep. You know, every part of it takes thought. It takes dedication.
Definitely.
So it definitely shows that.
I also wanted to kick in that in, I don't know what year it was, but recently, I guess, this, I guess, model came on a very popular magazine wearing her short afro, like, out and whatever. And she was, for, like, a while, I guess people were saying that she was the most beautiful person or whatever. And I think that being on, like, mainstream media, like a black person, a black girl wearing her afro out and being called the most beautiful, like, person ever, it's like, oh, wow, like, that's crazy. Like, you never, like, I know it sounds weird right now, but, like, I guess in my experience, I never see, like, a lot of black girls out there being like, oh, like, she's really pretty with her natural hair out. Like, people are always like, oh, she's ghetto and she's ratchet and da-da-da, this and that. And it's like, oh, so, like.
But yeah, they've allowed us to put them, like, wear them in different lights now. Like, you see them on runways, you see them in magazines, like you said, on
cover
pages. It's more acceptable now to be in your skin and be comfortable.
I was just reading how people were like, it's become like a mainstream thing where you would see like creators using it to sell their clothes, basically. And it would be like, how do you go from being like a thing that was like shone down upon and then to going to being this luxurious thing where it's like, oh, like, you need to have this if you want to, like, you know,
it's just like art now. They accept it as art instead of, like, you know, being discriminatory against us. They see it as our art and how we express ourselves and how you might feel today. You might want to wear it soft or you might want to wear it hard, you know. It depends on how you feel, and now it's become easier to accept being comfortable in your skin.
Yeah, you know? Being comfortable in your skin is like a big part of, like, I think that's one of the main big parts of, like, modern revolutions is just feeling good in your own skin, because like after all that repressed and all that like after all that repressment, basically you just want to, like, be like, I don't even care no more. Like, I'm gonna do me, and I'm gonna do, that's how I gotta do it. So whether you want me to or not, this is just gonna happen. I think that's really a big part of it now.
You're playing my favorite song right now. My favorite artist. I think Anthony did that on purpose. That's like 05 right there. 2005.
We back after the news. With the lipsticks. Around black, I'm black. So I like the oldies on Sundays. Drink all night and still go to work Monday. I'm black. So I like my kids looking real nice. Cause I've been poor and I know what it feels like. I'm black. And I'ma say it loud like James Brown. People be proud cause we all up in the game now. I'm black. And I'ma hold my right fist real high. I might see my man and we might get real high. I'm black. And I know it and I ain't afraid to show it. I'm black. And I'm a genius and a motherfucking poet. You know it. Just who I am. So proud to say that I'm me. So proud to be just who I am. So proud to be so free. I'm black. So proud to say that I'm me. I'm black. The one with the struggle and the hate. I'm black. And I'm not afraid to say it. I'm black. I'm black, so I got a heart full of bravery. Do it for my peoples that went through slavery. I'm black, so you know I'm young in the sports. 90% chance I get hung in the court. I'm black, don't you be scared of me, mister. Cause you don't really seem to be scared of my sister. I'm black, and I could buy first class too. Or buy an exotic car and like Merc pass you. I'm black, and I don't need a tan in the winter. Mind strong and powerful, now cypher can't enter. I'm black, and I don't need jewelry to shine. Look at my skin color, it's like the jewelry is blind. I'm black, they focus on the negative attention. Do something positive and never get mentioned. I'm black, listen, it's a fact. Original man, I wouldn't change it if I could, and that's that.
With a caramel complexion, look in the mirror, see Malcolm and Martin in reflection. I'm black, just like the Panthers, looking for an answer. This prejudice, it's like a cancer. I'm black, look in my eyes, the wool can't get pulled over. Look in my cars, I stay getting pulled over. I'm black, meaning public enemies, number one government. Looking in the hood, sending in the, I'm black. I grew up off the good times show, drink liquor, smoke, then let the good times roll. I'm black, I live for my wife and my seeds and my mom with a bond only God could exceed. I'm black, I got to show my homeboys love. First thing you learned in the hood was homeboy love. I'm black, and I'm that if I ain't nothing else. I'm black, I'm beautiful, I love myself. Yeah.
So proud to be just who I am.
So proud to say that I'm me.
So proud to be just who I am.
So proud to be so free.
I'm black. So proud to say that I made it.
I'm black.
The world with the struggle and the hatred.
I'm black.
And I'm not afraid to say
I'm black.
Black.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Amanda Purcell is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The public will have the opportunity to weigh in about the proposed moratorium on short-term rentals in the city of Hudson. The Hudson Common Council, November 19, approved a local law designating a nine-month moratorium on the registration or operation of short-term lodging facilities. The moratorium was put in place to allow city lawmakers time to draft detailed regulations. Mayor Rick Rechner has scheduled a public hearing for 4 p.m. on Tuesday, November 3rd at City Hall, 520 Warren Street. After hearing the public's comments, Rechner will either sign or veto the measure. The four-page law is available for review on the city's website at cityofhudson.org. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. The Greenville Pioneer is reporting Capital Region Independent Media last week purchased Manchester newspapers and named Warren C. Dews, Jr., General Manager of the Ravenna News Herald and the Greenville Pioneer. The Manchester family sold its newspaper group to CRIM president and publisher Mark Vinciguerra on November 15. Manchester Newspapers is a weekly newspaper and specialty publishing company that prints five newspapers weekly, in addition to 40-plus specialty publications every year. Newspapers included in the sale are the Granville Sentinel, the Whitehall Times, the North County Free Press, the Hudson Falls Free Press, the Lakes Region Free Press. Dews is currently chief operating officer of CRIM's sister company, the National Press Institute for Audience Growth. He is a 30-year veteran of the business side of the media industry. Dews said, and I quote, "I tell people all the time that local media will never die. It will just transform. I believe in the power of community media, and I'm humbled to be part of bringing neighbors, businesses, and families together," end quote. And you can read the full story in the Greenville Pioneer. MoneyInc.com has named Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute one of its, and I quote, 20 worst colleges in America in 2019, end quote. The private research university based in Troy made the list because of its, and I quote, poorly written policies which have been used by the administration to quell free speech. You can't even hand out a flyer on the property without gaining prior authorization, end quote. The school has punished students who speak with the media about the policies as well. California State University at Long Beach and Georgetown University also made the list for their efforts to inhibit free expression among enrolled students. Additional schools made the worst colleges list based on other criteria, such as average student debt, graduation rate, annual cost, and overall ranking of the institution. And you can read the full story in MoneyInc.com. Dan Clark is reporting for the New York Law Journal. A proposal to overhaul the state's trial court structure put forward by Chief Judge Janet DeFiore is projected to cost the state $13.1 million per year when fully implemented, less than a half of 1% of the judiciary's current budget. The bulk of the increased cost would be the result of the salary increases required by the plan. The analysis was released November 19th in a report from the Office of Court Administration. The court also projected the court system would save $5 million through a reduction in non-personnel services. Chief Administrative Judge Lawrence Marks said savings would not come from cutting staff. The plan, as currently written, would not remove or consolidate any positions currently within the court system. Marks said they're already down about 1,600 employees compared to a decade ago. The report was released on the same day state lawmakers held the second of two hearings on DeFiore's proposal. At that hearing, Marks testified the plan would result in a savings in attorneys' fees, lost days at work, as well as child care and transportation costs. He said, and I quote, "If cases can be resolved more quickly, if they can be resolved with fewer court appearances, litigants are going to save money," end quote. Mark said the OCA calculated that litigants would spend 4.5 million fewer hours in court every year if DeFiore's plan is implemented. The state legislature is expected to take up the proposal during the upcoming legislative session, which begins in January. And you can read the full story in the New York Law Journal. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, visit our website, WGXE.org. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Here's what we do at the clubhouse. 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 It be fun at the clubhouse. Music stay loud at the clubhouse. Staff be cool at the clubhouse. Not just mine, it's your house. Music program at the clubhouse. Got a drum set at the clubhouse. Got a piano at the clubhouse. Make your own beats at the clubhouse. Get on the video at the clubhouse. Share your voice at the clubhouse. Express yourself at the clubhouse. Tracks program at the clubhouse. Be yourself at the clubhouse.
Welcome no back judgment. To Clubhouse Radio, live no from the Catskill Youth Clubhouse at 90.7 FM, WGXC, broadcasting ACRA, Catskill Hudson. You are just listening to an original clubhouse theme by DJ WIC. I'm DJ Popcorn.
I am Tyla, and
I'm Alexis. Keith. Sorry, I'm Alexis.
So we're back in talking about black hair and our experiences and basically the entire timeline and history of black hair. And DJ Popcorn wanted to come in talking about the basically modern stripping of like our actual culture and talking about do-rags and stuff like that. So what do you research on that?
I mean, I found that there was like a lot of stuff about people not liking that when other people wear do-rags, it's like sort of offensive to them that it's not, it's like taking their culture from them. Mm-hmm. It's what they started and it's not really something that they gave to them or gave them rights to do.
But at first, weren't you talking about how basically your school like basically banned do-rags? Because I guess a lot of people like, I guess newly now are associating do-rags with like criminalization and gangs and stuff like that. So how do you feel about that and that stuff?
I don't really like that people think that the do-rag should be criminalized and people should be seen as a criminal for wearing their do-rag just trying to get some waves, you know.
But and people were arguing about how it was more of like fashion than an actual purpose, and it really, that's really not the case. How do you feel? Like, what was your information on that?
I mean, I don't really know.
Yeah, so, I feel the do-rag is a part of the black culture. I don't think it had anything to do with criminalization. It's like our culture. We're wearing it to get our hairstyle a certain way. We're not doing it because, oh, we're associated with gangs or we're most likely to be put in jail later in life because we're in a do-rag.
Yeah.
It's just like older women of different color or you're black or white that might wear rollers in the hair at night.
Or bonnets.
Yeah. You know, through the curls. So it shouldn't be any different than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know y'all read an article about how that, and yeah, there was a part of it that I was talking about how a teacher told a certain student that he can't wear like a do-rag to like a interview, like for a job.
Yeah.
And he was talking about, I guess, how he wouldn't, because like, why would you? Like, a do-rag isn't something you wear 24/7. Right. Like, you obviously gonna take it off to show your wave. You're not just gonna wear it all the time.
Yeah, like wave check. Like,
why would you wear it to get waves and then not show off the waves?
Right. Yeah, just, because the kid, he said he like, quote unquote, he said, obviously we have the common sense not to wear a do-rag to a job interview.
Duh.
And which is
it's like like wearing a bonnet to go to sleep. Like, you're not gonna wear a bonnet 24/7, like it's only when you're sleeping, because you're like, your head is like on something and you need to put something over it to not mess it up.
You want to keep the like the natural wave. Just put your waves in, bro.
And any additional thoughts on that, like any additional quotes from the article you read?
There was this quote. It says, "That's what I'm waiting for, the compelling argument that a do-rag is actually cultural. It's not just functional."
Yep.
So other people are thinking, oh, they're wearing it just to wear it. Oh, they're involved in gang activity. Oh, they need this on 24/7 to make a name for themselves. No, it's
cultural. Not, it's not about street cred. It's about our culture.
Yeah, it's like actually like it's our
hair.
Yeah, basically hair, like our hair is the only type of hair that could like hold that kind of style. It wouldn't be any other, like straight and finer hair could never hold styles like that.
Yeah,
which is like the fact that you're associating it I can't say it right, but you're saying that it's like if you wear that you're gonna become a criminal and you're gonna be in jail. Like that's basically saying like a whole culture and a whole race is gonna be in jail because of something, like
because of their hair.
Hair. It's literally not even that complicated and stuff like that.
Just because somebody wants to wear a durag does not make them a criminal.
Mm-hmm. And I know yesterday WIC was talking about how, like, he doesn't, like, if a Caucasian, like, boy was to wear, like, a durag, like, would you say that same thing to him? Like, if a Caucasian boy was wearing a durag?
They should. If they mean the same thing, they should.
Yeah. Even though there will be no reason for him to wear it because it's literally...
You're not going to get waves. It's just not going to help.
You can wear it. Just know nothing's going to happen and you're going to be looked at weird.
You're looking a fool in the street.
Like, you're not benefiting from wearing it. You're just wearing it.
They don't understand it then.
Yeah, so, like... If a white person was to do that, what they're saying is, oh, it's a style purpose. No, it's not.
You
wear it to get our hair a certain way.
It's spreading up that message that it's for a style. Right. It's not a style, okay? Right. It's really just not. It has a specific purpose and specific function.
It's not a style. It's not a trend. A new trend came out. Everybody's going to do that. No.
Exactly. Right.
Black people.
It's been around for God knows how long.
We've been wearing it to bed for
like,
a long
time.
Yeah, like when some other like white like Caucasian boy wears it, like it's disrespectful to just do that. It's like just taking culture from some, like,
basically, and I also, recently enough, I read about a thing, like, white woman, she basically made a bonnet and then sold it off for, like, hundreds of dollars. And then, like, black woman, we've been wearing bonnets for decades, centuries. Like, what?
Yeah, like down in the city, you can go get a bonnet
for like $3.
And that white woman's selling it for hundreds of dollars.
Like, it's literally the same
right in the corner
thing. You're selling it back to us for
more. So what she's saying is, oh, it's brand new. Oh, everyone get bonded. Hundreds of dollars. I'm popular. No.
And on that, I want to segue that to culture appropriation, where I was talking about basically they would. Black people would have to deal with the intimidation, appropriation of, like, and lack of understanding coming from white people about the, about basically our culture and appropriating it and all that other stuff. But then basically what they're saying by doing, like, appropriating our styles, they're saying that as long as it's on the right person with the right clothes and the right amount of money, it's like for everyone.
Acceptable. No,
it's acceptable. But then when we wear it, it's ghetto and urban and just all this other bad stuff like associated with it. But then when they wear it, it's like, oh, luxurious and all the other stuff. And it's just so, you know,
might put rhinestones on it or something.
Yeah, like might put rhinestones on it and call it. And then
Like now it's like it's different. Like with the manufacturing of like durags and stuff coming from like sending into like corner stores and stuff, you can get one for like $2-3, and then next thing you see like some white kid coming into school with no waves, with just like regular straight hair with a durag on. You just look stupid. You're not doing anything that's gonna benefit you.
Yeah, so basically this not only ignores the years of tradition and then the trauma associated with braided hairstyles, but it continues the cycle of discrediting black people for trends that white people decided were worth intimidating. So like that's basically just erasing our whole culture, like erasing who we are as
people. Taken away from our culture and what we grew up knowing as just part of life. You know, we all know grandma might have had a bonnet on it.
Yeah.
Your uncle might have had a do-rag on, but everyone's hair was perfect the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And just them basically just trying to make it their own, quote unquote, is just so disrespectful and all the other stuff. But then, as a quote in the article says, it says, thankfully, we have more black women like Alexis in positions not only to impact what happens behind and in front of the screen, as in like media, but the entire media industry. So how do you feel about that?
I think all, you know, more hands and more people spreading the word and reminding everyone about culture and how it's important and everybody's culture, not just black culture. You know, everyone has something special to them and how they were raised, and you know, we all should have respect for everybody's culture. You know, it shouldn't be something that you say the Caucasian boy is making fun of at school. Now he's got his pants sagging and a do-rag on, and nothing's matching.
Exactly.
You know? Really, so it's like you
when
kinda,
he does it, it's okay. But then when we do it, it's like, oh, you're going to jail
to the principal's office.
Yeah.
Like your swag levels are down, kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah, I think it takes it's, you know, more people that can keep like reminding us that it's you know, it's not supposed to be something to make fun at or picked at. It's culture. It's our culture.
It's like they can wear it like a costume, but it's our actual lives. Like, it's attached to our skin, so.
Yeah, like, there was something that I had seen. There was a video of Kylie Jenner going to a fashion week with a do-rag on, and everybody on Twitter, like, exploded. They were like, girl, what you doing with that on? Like, you don't know anything about that.
Basically.
Yeah.
I saw that picture of her sister here with her cornrows on, too.
Oh. Yeah.
Like, what if she had that do-rag on top of that? That would have. She would have been doing too much.
Lord. Oh, yeah. Man. She had tried to, like, basically get rid of, like, cornrows. She tried to call it boxer braids. And, like, what is a boxer braid, Miss Man?
I don't know what that is.
What is that?
Like, please inform me.
Like, that just, she just tried to completely, like, because she, like, she knows she's a big celebrity. Like, everybody, like, you know, has all eyes on her. And then once she says that, everybody's going to think, oh, those are boxer braids. No, those are cornrows. No, those
try to brand it into her own instead of just respecting the culture that it came from.
And even if she didn't know the name, she could have asked somebody. Like, ask somebody, please.
Like, if you don't know a cornrows,
braided it, how about them? You know,
now you're just spreading false media.
Like, why did Kanye not tell you those were cornrows?
Exactly. What was Kanye doing during all this? That's the true question. What was he doing?
Why did Kanye not tell you those were cornrows?
Right. Lord. That's another problem.
So that means a white woman might have braided her hair. You know, you never know. Because
everything could be a wig. I don't know what it is.
It could be a wig.
It might be. I don't.
Yeah. And then on that topic, it was 2 years ago, last year, I saw a white lady wearing dreads, and she was talking to her friend, and her friend was like, oh, dreads are so nice. Where'd you get them? She said, I had them done by this. And she said it was a new thing going on. And she said it was made by, and she said a name of a white lady. I forgot her name. She said, well, it's a new thing going on from so-and-so white lady. And in my head, I'm like, oh, no, you gotta go.
Oh, no.
I said, no.
It's a new thing? Oh, my God. That is unacceptable. That is just unacceptable. Yeah.
And there are, like, African-American women, like, in New York City that braid hair. Just go there and get your hair done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just actually see what it's like to get actual dreads. But we know your hair can't do it, but, you know.
At least
just try.
You don't even
feel
have
that
to get
pain
it.
And then say right. something about it.
Like, you don't understand the feeling and like the experience of being like, in a hair salon, getting your hair braided, sitting there for hours.
As a young boy, just getting my cornrows done, getting popped by my mom with the comb because I can't stay still. Like, you don't know the struggle.
How about breaking the comb? You know,
right. Breaking the comb over and oh my god,
comb goes through my hair.
You're brushing it and it's all. I'm like,
just going.
And not just the thin one, the thick one.
Yeah, the thick one, the actual thick combs. Yeah. I'd be like, wait.
I'd be like, hold on, mom.
Or they get stuck and you just like, you're just trying to. It's annoying, but yeah. It's like process. A whole, there's definitely an experience behind it. It's not just having it, it's to have it. No, it's an experience and it's part of you and it's just like deep rooted from your childhood and all that other stuff. It's just there.
We
I
all just share the experience.
Right,
we all have something to say.
Like, when,
it's just something, it's part of us. It's part of our culture and it's part of who we are and identities and all that other stuff.
When you get your hair permed and braided, you know it's going to hurt because you got to wait for it. You know you got to wait for it to burn.
Like, it's a whole you gotta lean process. Over like, when I was, like I said before, when I was younger, I used to get my hair straightened and like washed and all that every 2 weeks. And that was like really bad, whatever. So I would go there and I would wash my hair, which would be like, hard enough because you know they would like really try to get in whatever and then I had to go I either blow dried it out or I had to go under that big heating thing I don't know what
it's
called
a hair dryer
yeah basically yeah. like that but it was so hot on my head and I'm very tender headed so that was like, it would hurt so basically it's literal pain
oh yeah it pain is beauty
shouldn't have to be but
yeah
I guess
yeah and since we're on the topic like is here there's this song called I'm Not My Hair by NDRE. Mm-hmm. So let's hear a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Convict music. See, I can kind of recall a little ways back. Small trying to ball, always been black. And my hair, I tried it all. I even went flat, had a gummy curly top and all that crap. Now, just trying to be appreciated. Nappy-headed brothers never had no ladies. Then I hit the barbershop real quick. Had them give me little twists and it drove them crazy. But then I couldn't get no job. This corporate wouldn't hire no dreadlocks. Then I thought about my dogs on the block. Kind of understand why they chose to steal and rob. Was it the hair that got me this far? All these girls, these cribs, these cars. I hate to say it, but it seems so flawed. Cause success didn't come till I cut it all off. Little girl with the pressing curl. Age 8, I got a Jerry curl. 13 and I got a relaxer. I was a source of so much laughter. At 15 when it all broke off. 18 and I went all natural. February 2002, I went on and did what I had to do. Because it was time to change my life, to become the woman that I am inside. 97 dreadlocks all gone. Curls and waves. Bad hair means you look like a slave. At the turn of the century, it's time for us to redefine who we be. You can shave it off like a South African beauty. Got it on lock like Bob Marley. You can rock it straight like Oprah Winfrey. If it's not what's on your head, it's what's underneath. And say, hey, I am not my head. I am not your skin. I am not your expectations. No. With the wave cap and the cops wanna harass cause I got babes. Ain't seen nothing like that in all my days. Man, you gotta change all this fearance. Steady judging one another by their appearance. Yes, India, I feel you, girl. Now go ahead, talk to the rest of the world. Cause the way I wear my hair make me a better person. Cause the way I wear my hair make me a better friend. Oh. The way I wear my head determines my integrity. Oh. Breast cancer, chemotherapy took away her crown and glory. She promised God if she was to survive, she would enjoy every day
So we're back, and we want to have some quick words about what we heard in this song. And I just wanted to point out that when Akon said that you can't go to a job interview wearing dreads because they're not going to hire you, that really tied back to what I was talking about, how people were calling it unprofessional. And people were saying that you should be ashamed about the hair that grew out your head and how you style it. And she was also talking about how the way does the way I style my hair make me a different person or make me like I don't know. I don't really know how to explain it. But do you have anything else to say about it?
I think just when she said, you know, I'm the soul within. She wanted mm-hmm. everyone to know that, you know, what you see on the outside isn't just what all is a part of me. You know, there's more. Mm-hmm. It's deeper than that.
For and, sure.
Yeah. Before you criticize me about my hair, you know. Learn me more.
Yeah, learn about me as a person. Yeah. Like, instead of just saying, oh, you really, have that hair, so da-da-da.
Yeah, yeah, you can't really judge one on what they wear and how their hair looks. You can't really just assume what their life is, what they've been through and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Everybody's gone through different experiences. So, right. You know.
Definitely.
You have anything to say about it, IC?
Well, yeah, she's not her hair. She's not the skin. You know, she's the soul within. Mm-hmm. So yes, it covers what you guys are talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. So now we're coming into the end of our time. Thank you for listening. Catch us next week and every Friday at 6 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. And if you are 18 to 12 and want to get involved with programming our radio show, join us for radio workshop at the Catskill Youth Clubhouse every Thursday and Fridays at 5 p.m. And we'll finish this out with Lady Moon and the Eclipse. Lapiti Press. All right. Prince. Uh-huh. Wait. And, yeah, big thank you to Wave Farm and WJXC for making this radio program possible, the Catskill and Hudson Youth Clubhouses, and Mental Health Association for Columbia Green Counties supporting this program.
I got a shout-out for everyone who's trying to get their hair done right now or has an idea that might want to change. I have a friend that is in Hudson. His name is Corona, one of my besties. He's responsible for what I look like right now today. He is at Spruce Salon, 111 Fairview Avenue, Hudson, New York. For appointments, you can call him at 518-698-6904 or call Spruce and ask for Corona. But he is experienced over almost 20 years, and he's been doing it since he was 18. And he can transform anybody, any color. You're in good hands. So I just want to shout him out. He's definitely a great person and a great stylist.
Mm-hmm. Any other shout outs?
Shout out to black hair.
Yeah, basically. I think that's the biggest shout out of all, just black empowerment. And black,
definitely. You guys are doing a great job in here. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm so happy that you invited me. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you for being here.
All right. Well, that's it.
Actually, just right quick, next week on Clubhouse Radio, tune in for Tracks, where we will be producing and showing live original music from everybody here at the staff and all of the youth at Clubhouse. So, thank you, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Take me on a road trip.